Dilla Dore, had a dream about you, fam. It's 2005. We in the same hospital room. You on one side, I'm on the other. I'm stressed out, but what gave me motivation is you pulling out that MP and banging out some bangers as usual. Nothing ever fazed you, fam. And for that, let's I miss go. You.
Rest in peace. Fife Dawg. J-Dilla.
Hold tight, this ain't the last I'ma see you. Due time, that's my word, I'ma see you. Frontin' ass rappers down here still an issue. Posing like they hard when we know they on secret. I'ma tell you, Dilla, why they lacking skills, pal. No stage presence, cadence, style. They living off of hooks. Skinny jean crooks, pre-K lyrics. What one I need a book? I reminisce when Mob dropped shook. Shan was down by law. Such a good look. Nas got son and his return was still matic. Roots distortion, static. You in slum fantastic. Thought I'd shout you out, son. See how you doing. Come back to earth, homie. Hip hop is in ruins. I'm a third of the tribe, but I'ma speak for the clique. What up, though? We miss you, kid. Mother City say.
GD, flip another beat for me. GD.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 3 of the Reckless Effect Podcast. I am your host, Reckless in the Building, and that was Fife Dawg with the track Dear Dilla. Rest in peace to Fife Dawg. We all know they passed away 3 years ago yesterday, actually. Died of complications of diabetes. Man. I remember a couple years back when the Beats, Rhymes, and Life documentary dropped, and I was watching that, and just it refueled my love of Tribe Called Quest. I'm actually planning on getting my fourth tattoo, which is going to be a part of my sleeve, of Tribe Called Quest. And actually, I decided I'm going to do a lot of Tribe on my arm. But anyway, I've always been a huge fan of theirs. I'm a huge fan of Fife Dawg. So I felt like it was appropriate to kick off the show with this and give you guys a little bit of that. But so shout out to him, man. So sad. 3 years. It feels like time just goes so slow. But then, like, you realize, like, a lot of time has passed in between. You know, it's crazy. We should really start, like, trying to slow down and take that breath and absorb the life around us and the people that are still here and give them their flowers, give them that love. Yeah, man. Time just moves so fast, even though it feels so slow. Anyway, what I really wanted to kick off this show with was something ill. Something real ill. You already know what time it is. I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm so thankful that Jordan Peele was the genius who thought, you know, I got five on it. It's creepy as fuck when you slow it down. but anyway, so obviously that is the title track. I got five on it from the movie Us, which premiered yesterday, and I was fortunate enough to go see the film Thursday night, and holy shit. I expected a lot from this movie because of how Get Out was done. I expected a lot, but I went in with the idea that this is not going to be the same as Get Out. And I felt like a lot of people who were going to go see this film we're thinking like or hoping that there's some semblance or something that that is kind of close to that. Whereas one is a psychological thriller and the other one is horror. Actually, to be honest, they both kind of really feel like horrors. I mean, white people taking over black people. Anyway, so I went in, I saw this movie, I got my little Slurpee, I got my hot dog, I don't eat popcorn. Fun fact about me, I don't eat popcorn and I don't eat cake anymore. I haven't had cake in like 7 years, and people think that is the weirdest thing about me. And I'm like, no, there's a lot of weird shit. That's just me not wanting to eat cake. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And shout out to everybody that's been listening, that listened to the last podcast, that have been coming in or hitting me on my line and was just like, yo, listen to your episode. It was dope. You got skills. Or saying, giving me like pointers and help along the way. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to a lot more episodes and speaking to you all. So let's get back to the shits. So I go in, I watch this movie, and I'm fucking glued. I'm glued to the seat. And shout out to whoever decided, let's make these chairs comfortable as fuck for people. I mean, sitting on a recliner, there's like little heated seats, you know, I'm like comfortable as hell. I feel like I'm at home. Like, I really wish that I had a blanket, you know what I'm saying? So I'm watching the movie, and first off, I love that there was a whole bunch of black people in the theater around me, because then there's people like shouting at the TV or shouting at the screen saying, what are you doing? Like, I love this movie. I love being surrounded by my people, and we're all just like enjoying this cinematic feature together. Felt like a family event kind of thing. Anyway, so I sit down, I'm watching the movie, and I'm just glued from the very open to the very end. And I thought that it was dope. I thought that it was smart. I thought that this was well written, and everybody who played in the film was incredible. Lupita, oh my gosh, the woman is incredible. I mean, she's been good in like everything that I've seen her in, but this was damn good performance by her. The only thing that really kind of bothered me, but it really wasn't that big of a deal, was the dad. He felt like one of those corny, like, white dads, you know what I'm saying? Like, he felt like one of those dads, and it was just like, okay, dude, you can, like, calm down off of that. Like, he looked like one of those dads that's like, hey, yeah, swaggy, you know? Yeah? Did I get it? Yeah? All right. Like, that's the kind of energy that I felt when I was watching him, and I was just like, all right. Like, okay. But for those who haven't seen the movie, please, please, please go see it. I felt like there was a huge bit of like classism. Like, I felt like it was that was the tone and the theme behind the actual story. But then the swerve at the end was dope. But then I was talking to my friend Liv. Shout out to Liv. Love you to death. And she was saying that she felt more, it's like, about our egos. And although I agreed with her, I felt like I needed to see the movie again. So I did see the movie again last night. And although that I still stick with the classism part of it, I also took on more of her, okay, ego. Yes, definitely. But there was another like swerve that I kind of dug into, because something in the movie didn't make sense to me, and when I first saw it. So watching it again, that's when everything started to like come together, and I was like, okay. And then at the end, that's when I noticed that there was another like bit of a swerve, and I didn't realize it until like I started to work backwards in the movie. So this was just an incredible movie. I thought it was, I think it's like, it's hands down my favorite film right now. I mean, duh. But this was just an incredible movie. But for those who haven't seen it, you might want to skip ahead. because I'm going to spoil one thing in this movie. Should I do that? I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but if you haven't seen it, get your shit together. Because this movie was incredible. And it's hands down going to be one of the best movies to be out this year. I mean, there's still a lot going on, but this was well done. Well fucking done. But I will say, keep this energy up of really paying attention, because there are some things that you're going to miss that are important. And even though a lot of people want to just take the movie at face value, watch it. Really pay attention and really see the subtle nuances in the movie. Really do your best to fall back into other things that happened previously when you're getting to certain points in the movie, because then a lot of things are going to make sense. I mean, the big swerve that's at the end, you're like, oh shit. But pay attention, because there's one thing that you're going to miss that is right in front of you. So yeah, watch it. That movie's incredible. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not gonna spoil anything, but there is one story in there. The Shadow story got me. And for those who have seen it, that story, that was dope. And I'm definitely gonna take my daughter. Don't recommend it really for kids, because it is kind of scary. But my daughter she's a psychopath. There's no other way to explain it. My daughter is a psycho. Story time. A month ago, I did my daughter's hair. For the first time. I never really do her hair. Like, I put it in, like, a ponytail, whatever. But she asked me specifically for something with her hair tied up and the rest of it falling. And she wanted to be, like, pulled tight. I don't know. Like, she was describing it, and I was like, okay, I know what you're saying. I can do that. So I started to do her hair. I started to brush it, and I put it up. And it looked nice. And then she gets up, goes to the bathroom, and she walks out slowly, and she says, "Dad, this is not what I wanted." And I was like, "Yeah, it is." And I started to smooth it out, and I was like, "You're good." And she was like, "No, Dad, this isn't it." And I was like, "Well, we're late. We gotta go. So, like, it's fine." And she was like, "Okay." So we get to the car, and we go. And now we're in traffic, and I happen to look back behind her, and she has this look on her face, and she's staring into the rearview mirror, but she looks irritated. And I'm like, "What's going on? Why are you so angry?" And then she says, "Dad, I hate my hair." And I'm like, "What do you mean? It looks good." And she says, "No, it doesn't, Dad. It looks stupid. I look like a pom-pom with eyes." I was like, "What? A pom-pom? We can't..." And then I really look at her hair. I was told that spike brush that I have for her or whatever, I should not use that on her hair because it, like, poofs out her hair. So I gave her, like, a mini afro puff, but it's in two sections now. So she has two, like, afro puffs, and she looks crazy. I was like, "Oh, shit, what did I do?" And she said, "You didn't use the hair stuff, Dad. My hair, it's poofy. It's poofy. I'm a pom-pom." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." And then we finally get to the school, and she gets out the car, and she looks at me. I was like, "Can I have a hug?" And she said, "Yeah." And she gave me a hug, and then put her hand on my shoulder and said, "Do better next time, Dad. Do better." And then she runs off with her friends. And she says to her friend, "Don't look at me. My dad did my hair." I'm sorry. That made me laugh so hard. But then it was like, okay, I need to do my daughter's. And then as soon as I put that online, everybody that knows me hits me up, and they're like, there's YouTube channels where you can do your daughter's hair, and people are sending me links. My homegirl works at a salon, and she's like, "Bring your daughter, I'll help you." And I'm just like, "Yo, thanks for all this love." But this one, my one friend who also does hair, she was like, "I commend you for being being a single dad and trying to do your daughter's hair and everything, but what you did was terrible, and I'd be more than happy to help and show you how to do it and do it right and get your fingers like, I'm not taking any excuses. You have to learn to do her hair. And I was just like, okay, thanks. So I felt kind of stupid for a while, but that's hella funny. But anyway, my daughter is a psychopath because she has like, she has pinpoint precision with her like digs and like her shit talking. Like, she's very focused on that. Like, she'll know like you don't feel comfortable about something or you don't like something, and she'll just jab at it. Like, she'll just look at me, eyebrows, dad, eyebrows. And I'm like, whoa, my eyebrows are perfect. Oh yeah, I still have this little, like, you know, like she's calculated. But the reason why I'm saying that is because I was asking her, hey, what do you want to watch? And she says, I want to watch Pennywise, dad. And I was like, no. And she's like, I've already seen it. I've seen it 3 times. I know you're afraid of clowns. Mommy told me. Let's watch it, dad. And I'm like, why are you looking at me like you're gonna stab me? And we watched, and every part that I got scared at, she's laughing. My daughter's a psychopath, so I'm definitely gonna take her to go see this movie, and I know she's gonna enjoy it. She really likes scary stuff. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know where she's getting. I blame her mom wholeheartedly. but yeah, so anyway, my last post, or my last episode, I asked the question, what makes a dope MC? And I know it's a strange jump, but whatever, go see the movie. Anyway, moving on to music. I asked, what makes a dope MC? And out of the people that have responded, I got the general, like, I got a lot of, like, varying answers, and a lot of them had nothing to do with really the MC himself. Like, I got answers of like, if his beat's dope, okay, that falls more on like the engineer and the, you know, the producer and shit. Like, you know, I'm talking about like the MC, the man in front of you, the artist. Like, what makes them dope? And people were giving like examples of MCs. Like, but it was weird. It was weird, the amount of responses that I was getting, like, or the varying responses that I was getting. Some people were saying like Kendrick, some people were saying Cole, some people were saying like Logic, some people were saying people like Method Man, Red Man. Like, I was like, okay, like, we getting somewhere. And then I see, you know, Kodak, and I see Gunna, and then I see DaBaby, then I see Offset, and then I see, like, I'm seeing all these, like, random all around, like, artists of today, and I'm like, okay, but what makes them dope? What is the thing about them that makes them a great MC? That's the question. And a lot of people gave me, like, weird answers that just didn't make any sense, and, they're talking more about just random things, and I'm trying to associate it with like what makes them dope. What, not just like, oh, you make a lot of money or the beat is dope. I'm like, okay, that's great, but what is it about them specifically that makes them dope? What are the qualifications? So mine that I put out was content, flow, delivery, personality, performance, and freestyle. And I feel like that last one, freestyle, is kind of like a lost art. There's not a lot of artists that are now trying to freestyle and show how good they are lyrically. I feel like more the lyricism of artists, the artistry is being lost. A lot of people are just creating the same type of music just to make music, to make money. And they're not perfecting their craft. And what blows my mind is seeing people who are perfecting their craft that are really good at it, that are really good at creating content, that have an amazing flow and a delivery, who perform for you. Like, people who are of that nature, there's only very few that everyone are collectively saying they are They're goats. They are amazing. They are dope MCs. Now we just have like a lot of rappers who are just putting out anything and everything just because they want to stay relevant or stay with what's popping right now. And it's getting lost. Like the real powerful and true, the beauty of rap was the ability to create content that speaks to what's going on at the times, what's going on with people. That is being lost. And it's really, it's getting to a point where everything is just like clouded. We're hearing the same thing from different people and it's done the same way. I don't know. I feel that even though it's extremely popular, it's all about money rather than the art of it. And while I can respect people who are going out and rapping for the money because I need to, you know, get my kids, you know, out of the situation that they're in. I got to get my parents a house. I got to, you know, do this. I got to do that. And it's all about the money. Great. But what else are you doing with that? And are you perfecting this? Are you leaving something behind for the next generation to look at you and say, I want to be like this person. I want to be like that. There's not a lot of artists that are like doing that. It's more of, I just need the money. I want the money. That's it. And I'm here until I get my bag. And then you probably won't see me again, you know? I feel like a lot of rappers that are out right now are not going to be around for a long time. And I've been wrong. I didn't think Gucci Mane was going to stay in the game for as long as he is. But he's grown and evolved to become a better MC than originally. And I think that it's just because of his experiences, the things that he's gone through in his life. Everything has changed. So he's now speaking to his personal growth and his change, as well as still creating that flow and that feel, that party, that, you know, that bang. So then, you know, he can still get that, get them spins. So that's whatever. But that's what I feel is what makes a dope MC. So when I'm looking for someone that's dope, I'm looking for someone who can tell me something. I want to hear something that's going to make me move. Can you move the crowd? Rakim, 1987. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanna feel that. I need that energy. I love hearing people freestyle. I wanna hear how you spit and how you think. I wanna hear how you create. Wanna see your personality. I wanna see, who is this cat? Like, that makes me invested in you. It makes me wanna rush to buy your stuff, to go stream it, to tell other people about it, to talk about it, to share, you know, that is what makes me and what keeps me. But yeah, like, that's just me and how I see MCs and music. And I really want to see that thing come back. Or maybe it's just the evolution and this was just bound to be. Hip-hop is the go-to. Hip-hop is the most popular form of music and form of entertainment, period. So maybe it was just bound to evolve to be something more diluted because there's so much of it. But I just hope that throughout all the mumbles and all the similarities, that there is some standouts that make their mark and come out and really, really stay on top. I mean, we talk about Cole and Kendrick like they are the only great MCs, but they're not. There's a lot that's out there. We just need to listen and find them. And someone that I think is a dope MC, a great MC that doesn't get his flowers is Tyler Kweli. He's definitely one of the better MCs that's out in the game, but he's not involved in a lot of conversations when it comes to who's in your top five, who's in your top 10. Like, I don't hear Kweli in there. I've had a discussion with some people and was like, who's like in your top five of today and the past couple of years? And I'll hear like, you know, Gutta, or not Gutta, but shout out to Gutta, Mosey Holmes, his new album's dropping soon. You can pre-order that. I'm gonna set up the link and everything so you can go pre-order that and get that, because the man's on the come up. His rise is ridiculous. But that's It's gonna be a different story, but shout out to him. That's my dude. That's my homie. But yeah, I just, I forgot where I was going. But I was talking to a couple people and they were telling me about their favorites, and they were saying like Gucci Mane. They were saying some other like obscure artists that are just that are popular right now, and or they were popular about like a year ago, but you don't really hear anything of them anymore. And I don't hear anybody say like Talib Kweli or Sci-Hi, or you know, it's kind of weird to me, especially for Talib, because he came out the gate with in Black Star, and we hold that album so high in regards of like hip-hop royalty, like great albums, but we don't talk about how great of an MC he is. I mean, Quality was a great album. Even his The Beautiful Struggle was a great album. Never Been in Love Before with Just Blaze, dope, fire. I mean, the man came out with Eardrum. And that was a fantastic album. That was like at his peak. And he all of a sudden wants to do things his way and really like focus on like lyricism, and then people kind of just move away from that. Was it the times? Because you're seeing more, you're seeing like Drake appear, you're seeing like Lil Wayne like really like come into prominence with the Carter 2 and 3. Like, is it because there were other artists that were super big coming out, or was it because there was a lot of music that came out, or a lot of artists that would have one hit wonders that you just kind of got, you know, stuck with? I mean, I remember at the time when Eardrum came out, there was like, you know, Soulja Boy was hitting, Drake was hitting, you have like a whole bunch of like random new stuff, like D4L came out. Anybody remember D4L? Check that Laffy Taffy. Oh man, that was a good ass song. But the Ye area, like all that. Like, when did he get lost in that shuffle? Anyway, my point is he needs to receive his flowers. And also, I think it's because of his like super political rants that he goes on. He's super online on his Twitter, like getting after like all these neo-Nazis who try to like take him down and everything. And it's like maybe his art was a little bit lost because of his political views and everything, but personally I think the man is like insane, and he's, in today's terms, in the past like 15 years, he's still in my top five of great MCs. I'm not gonna get into that conversation of my top five. Like, I'm gonna have a conversation with people about that in the near future. Anyway, that was just something that I wanted to touch on. Hella random, I know, I'm all over the place, but y'all listening any goddamn way, so thank you again for taking on this crazy that I have in my head. All right, so what's another bit of like crazy, but it's not crazy, but it is crazy. Wendy Williams, the whole situation with her right now, it's astounding. It blows my mind. I'm the type of person that really keeps a lot of things to the chest, and I don't talk about situational stuff. I talk about like funny like anecdotes, and I talk about random things that have happened to me like at work or with like ex-girlfriends and stuff like that. And trust me, you guys will get a lot of those stories too, because I have a lot, and they are pretty funny, and you'll be like, did that really happen? Like, yeah, that really happened. Like the time I sent a girl to the hospital after sex. That is a crazy story, but I'm not going to get into that. It was funny. The whole thing was just funny. But anyway, I have a lot of that, and I keep a lot of it to the chest when I talk about myself or I talk about other things and situations. But I also feel like when you talk about other people, and you talk about what's going on in their life, the things that are happening to them, and spread all this gossip and have your opinions on things, I also feel like that opens the door for you, for other people to do that to you. And I also feel like you owe it to, if you have an audience like Wendy Williams does, feel like you owe it to your audience to speak on those things that are out there in the world, that other people are commenting on and talking about. If you're the only one that's not talking about it, but everyone else is, it kind of feels like you're delusional because you're trying to ignore something that is a fact. You're trying to ignore something that, and trying to make it seem like it's not important or like it's fake or whatever. But when there's ocular proof to it and you don't want to speak on it still, it kind of makes you look funny. Even if you are trying to protect like your family, your values and everything. But I feel like in this situation with Wendy, her speaking about her personal issues will do a lot more good than harm. So I don't know if you guys have seen like over the past couple of years, Wendy's been acting a little different, a little funny lately. And she had she passed out on stage and that was scary. But then she talked about that it's part of her Graves' disease and that she's been dealing with that. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then I listened to The Breakfast Club and Charlamagne alluded to, sounds like she's on something. And as much as I would want to say that's a real thing, like she's going through something, whatever. Then we got to remember he did work with her for a while. So he has that little bit of insight. But then going into what the rumor about her with her husband having an affair with this woman for about 9 years, and he bought her a house like a mile away from their place or something like that. Like that's insane to me and bold as fuck. That is like a crazed individual who just does not give a fuck and thinks that he is like bigger than the situation or bigger than his situation. So when it first came out, Wendy said, you know, it's my family and I'm not gonna like talk about that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but you kind of talk about everybody else's families and you have your opinions on things. So maybe you should, you know, recognize that your life is also open to that same type of ridicule. And I feel like you should speak on it. Because I've heard like trying to help or speak to battered women or speak to like abuse and everything that she did behind the scenes for people. Like this is the time where, especially in the Me Too movement and everything that's going on with that, like this is the time where Wendy Williams could step up and say, you know, this is what's happening. This is how I'm handling it. Or this is like, you know, she should speak her truth because it does nothing. It doesn't do any wrong. It only helps. And with people coming out or like alluding to that Kev, and there have been some reports of this, but Kev's like abusive to people behind the scenes, abusive to Wendy herself, and all this other stuff. And then we get these new pictures of him on vacation with his side chick, and they're chilling. Like, that is insane to me. And seeing like the reports on like Page Six and the Daily Mail, it blows my mind that this man has the balls to be this wild. But it also speaks to Wendy in a sense. Because as strong as she is on screen, how terrified she must be behind, and how strong of a woman that she actually is. Trying to keep things together in order to keep her livelihood in order. But Wendy Williams came out and spoke openly that she had made the decision to live in a sober living facility to help her battle her addictions and stuff. And I thought that was pretty brave, but then that made me think, you're not staying at home? Like, your husband's not there? Like, what is going on? Like, this is weird. That's weird to me. And the fact that she put that out there, I believe that it was just more of like, going on the offense because the Daily Mail probably reached out to her and was like, hey, we got this, this, and this, and we know this. You want to comment? And she got ahead of it and started speaking on it. And then we see Kevin speak up and say something, which is rare because he doesn't really talk much. Like, I didn't even know the man could speak. But anyway, he comes out and says, basically,
Wendy's doing well. We're doing well as a family. We're moving forward with working on her sobriety and doing the work to help others, not just ourselves. It's a family process. Anybody that has to deal with this knows this is a family process, and we're dealing with it and moving forward. No one thinks it's the right place for Wendy, though. She seems so frail and vulnerable, and that's what a friend was saying. Someone who's close to the family says that it's frightening just how completely under Kevin's control Wendy is, but she won't hear a word against him. Those close to her are terrified something awful is going to happen. She comes to the set looking terrible. It could be the addiction, but it sounds like it's more of Kevin fueling all of this stuff. Because of Kevin's infidelity and his just brazen, just I don't give a fuck mentality, it's making her look stupid out here in these streets. It's making her feel away, and it's breaking her heart that all of this stuff that is about her personal life is coming out. And the rumors of infidelity and the abuse and a source has told Page Six that Hunter forced her to stay at the sober house. That is, if all of this is true, that he is this terrible human being, Wendy Williams should say something out in the open and be proud of the fact that she is helping herself and helping other women. So I feel for her. I really do. And I hope that she is getting the help that she needs and the clarity that she needs. Because if she is surrounded by the 24/7 sober coach, as reports are saying, I believe that she'll get that clarity. That it will come, and she will see that she doesn't need all of this stuff with Kevin. Like she needs to get away from that dude. And if multiple people are saying the same thing and talking about this man in this way, it has to be true. It has to be. But that also goes with something else that I said before. Listen to all victims, believe all proof. She's not saying that there's anything that's wrong. We're getting secondhand reports of other people who have seen things, that have heard things. People are close to the situation, but we don't have any tangible proof that he's actually abusing her. We just know that he is cheating on her. So he's a cheat, but we don't know anything else about that. And it's a sad situation that's going on with her, and I really, really hope that she gets the help that she needs moving forward. Just a sad, sad story. And another bit of sad, I was debating if I should talk about this, but it was on my heart, and I really felt like I had to say something about it because it just would not go away. So here I go. Get some like happy music so I can get ready for that. Cool. So there is a Texas man by the name of Drayvon Alexander Perkins. He was arrested in Houston. He's 26 years old. He was arrested in January. Why was he arrested? He admitted to raping a 3-year-old and infecting her with chlamydia and gonorrhea. 3-year-old. I have a 5-year-old, and that broke my heart. Just the fact that this man could do something so incredibly heinous. And looking at that dude's mugshot, he looked like he's on drugs. But no amount of drugs in the world can let me say, you know what? All right, drugs make you do crazy shit. No. That's just insane. I just can't believe the story. It's still fucking with me. And then I had to share it because this is the type of like energy that people are putting out there. Like this person comes out and does this terrible shit to an innocent child. Where the hell, what the hell is going on in this world to where like our kids are completely not safe around people we feel like they should be safe around? That is, that story really broke my heart. But he is in jail. He did admit to it. A doctor diagnosed the child with the 2 sexually transmitted diseases when the mother noticed the discharge in the diaper. Just as a parent, honestly, whenever my daughter comes home, like, and I see like a bruise on her arm or on her leg, I'm like, yo, who hurt you? Like, what's going on? Talk to me. And she just like looks at me like, dad, like, it's okay, nobody hurt me. But I'm so, I just realized that, like, it's the parental paranoia, one, that I have, that everyone is out to, like someone's gonna hurt my child, even though I know that the people that she's around are good, that they're gonna take care of her. But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, something is wrong, something could happen, you know, it's something that all parents, you know, go through, you know. And if this was Lord forbid, knock on wood, if anything ever happened to my kid, I'm putting that person in the ground. I do not, there's no fucking way. Like, I will be happy to go to jail with a smile on my face, knowing that I took out somebody that hurt my child, that could have or has already hurt others. That's me. I mean, the justice system, it does its best when it comes to like crimes against children and stuff. It does its best, and a lot of times they do get the guy, and they end up getting got in prison. Let's just be real. But they can only do so much. Personally, if you did a crime against a child, you should go to jail for longer than whatever the hell it is now. If it's like, oh, lewd and lascivious acts against a child, like. First off, we need to like really define this shit, because if you took a piss at the park and there happened to be a child there, that's not really like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but if it's, but still, who pisses at a park in front of other, like, there's kids around, like, that's ridiculous. But any type of like raping a child or even a woman, like chemically castrate them. That's it. Like, nope, get them the fuck out of here. Send them to jail. Send them to like the hardest jail. I don't give a fuck. That's just me and my personal belief. Like, we need to do something stronger and harder to these sick fucks that do shit like this. To, oh, goddamn, I need a happy song. I don't even know like what happy song. I'm just gonna pick something that makes me feel good. Okay. I don't know, this just brings me back to a simpler time. I hope he goes to jail and spends the rest of his days in there getting, you know, fucked in the ass with a mop. I don't know. But anyway, let me just move on from that. Talk about something else. Random beef, Kodak Black versus Young M.A. Honestly, this is stupid as fuck. Let's just keep it a buck. Kodak, she's a fucking lesbian. Yes, I understand that she's a woman. We all understand that she's a woman. But why in the fuck are you saying, like, yeah, it was in a song and it was a bar, like, he would fuck Young M.A. And then you're gonna go on IG Live and talk about, like, nah, she should want it. I don't understand. Like, you still need penetration. Like, get the fuck out of here. That's the toxic ass behavior that, like, leads niggas, like, in jail or, like, you know, all this other bullshit. I mean, this, oh, that's so fucking stupid. So I feel Young M.A. Like, why the fuck, you know I don't swing that way, you fucking weirdo. Like, why are you in my shit? Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, fucking weird.
Leave her the fuck alone. Kodak's an idiot. And yeah, he makes good shit. But he makes, like, good music. You know, I can party to that shit. But I'm not gonna, like, go out of my way to, like, listen to a new Kodak album and shit. Nah. Although that kind of sounds weird because I realized that I'm more of like a backpacker, I guess. And I really like indie shit. I really like that off the beaten path, like rap shit. But I do love mainstream shit. So don't, like, I just love hip hop and I love the evolution and the growth of it because there's nothing wrong with hip hop, really. It's just more of like, there's a lot of like people in this game that are trying to like get in and they're just like spitting on shit that they don't really believe in. 21 Savage was once quoted saying like, oh yeah, I don't believe in like slapping women or treating them disrespectfully or anything like that, but it sells, so make it. And I'm like, wow, thanks for like being that honest, but fuck, that's a problem. That's a problem. I get the whole aspect of like getting money, like I said earlier, but when are people gonna really care about their craft and like perfect it? Granted, a lot of these kids are doing good things in their communities, but that's I already talked about that. Anyway, like I said, I'm not gonna rush for a Kodak album. That's just me. He has a couple of good songs, and I could party with shit, like I said, but not in a rush. But he's a fucking weirdo. That's weird as fuck. Leave that woman alone. Youngin may look like she could beat his ass. That's just real. That's just me. But some artists that did drop some music, Rich the Kid and Nav just dropped albums this weekend, or I believe yesterday. Rich the Kid dropped The World Is Yours 2. I actually played this album. I was excited to hear it because his last joint was actually really good. And I didn't even know who Rich the Kid actually was in the beginning. I kind of just like, like who's this cat, but it was just something that just popped in my head. The World Is Yours album that he first came out, or not his first one, but the one that came out when was that it was last year. That was right around this time last year. I thought that was dope, and I love the track Gargoyle with Swae Lee and Offset. That was dope. Like, man, the man got skills. So it made me like really look forward to this one. And I can tell you, his track Two Cups, that's fire. Yeah, and can we give it up to Ty Dolla $ign? Because I really think that this man is like really fucking good. He's one of the best at features right now in the game. Like, he always has a dope ass feature, but it makes me like think like, okay, when is your album coming out? Like, when is your shit coming? Because I want to hear that. But yeah, he's on the track Whoa with Miguel and Rich the Kid, and I'm like, this is my shit. Like, I'm cruising to this. Like, I'm grooving to this. But yeah, I just find it kind of like weird that on this album it was really good, and then I hear the Lil Pump, and I find it weird because I'm not a Lil Pump fan, but I really like this song, Rockets. So I'm like, I don't know. It's just weird because I find myself like into artist features a lot, but when I listen to their projects, I'm not really that big of a fan. It's kind of weird. Like, I feel like I love the feature game because it's like people who are on the features are trying to outdo the person on their own song, and I love that bit of competition, and it really shows in the music. But then when I hear your shit, I'm kind of just like, it feels kind of lackluster. But I will say that I'm looking forward to a new Ty Dolla $ign project whenever he decides to put that shit out there. But I highly recommend to go check out Rich the Kid's album. I thought it was good. I thought it was really good. Nav's, I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I was too busy like with other shit, mostly watching Us and just, you know, living my best life. But Jacquees dropped a joint with Lil Baby called Your Peace. I heard that in the car, and I'm just not a fan of Jacquees anymore. Like, all that random raving about being the king of R&B, I'm just not a, I don't know. But this track individually, I'm not that big a fan of. But the person that I am a fan of, Logic, he dropped Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
And I gotta tell you, that is, he's a dope MC. He's a fucking MC. The fact that he's able to be honest and speak his truth. The fact that he created a visual with it that speaks to the overall tone of the song. And it's not like there's nothing hidden. It's right there in your face. I absolutely love this track. I mean, I wasn't a fan of Logic. Like, even when I heard the Suicide song, I thought it was dope. And I thought, like, wow, that's a great narrative. That's something that, you know, we need here in this world, because there are a lot of people that are hurting and they don't have anyone to talk to. And sometimes people feel alone even though they're in a crowded room. So I love that message, but I still had, like, my feelings. Like, I kind of just, like, I'm not that big of a fan. I like that song, whatever. I'm not going to rush to go hear a Logic album until he dropped Young Sinatra 4. And then he said, or then the reports came out, this little half-breed over here, he got all of Wu-Tang together. You got all of Wu-Tang? All right, I'll listen to it. And then the body of work surrounding that project, surrounding that song, was incredible. I love that boom bap. I love the sound. I love the tone. I love the fun of it. Him going bar for bar against Wale, who I still feel is completely underrated. And y'all niggas need to wake the fuck up, because Wale is here. He's been here, and he will continue to be here. And I'm sick of the conversation of him being too sensitive. Fuck y'all. Y'all being too sensitive against this man. But anyway, and what the fuck is overly sensitive? Like, what does that mean to people? Because I hear people saying, oh, you're too sensitive and blah, blah. That's, I'm gonna get on that in a second. Let me dial that back. But, yeah, so this, I'm excited. It got me excited to want to listen to more of Logic. I thought that he was actually a really dope MC and not just someone that likes to rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't just like to rap. He loves being an MC. He takes it seriously. He works on his craft. He understands. He reads. He studied the history. Like, that's the shit that I like. That's the shit that really is representative of hip hop and speaks to why I don't think that there is, like, a real problem in hip hop. There's some problems, but the decline or death of hip hop, as some people are saying, it's not there. Like, hip-hop isn't dying, it's thriving, and it's going to continue to grow. There's just a lot of bullshit that is in between where it's hard to hear someone like this, and he's incredible. And the song is really good. So if you haven't heard that shit yet, go check that out. Yeah, I think it's one of my top five tracks so far. It's been on repeat since I dropped it, or since it dropped. I didn't drop shit. lastly, maybe not lastly. I think I have some other stuff. What else did I talk about? Yeah, I did talk about all that shit. Okay, so I want to get into one other little thing. What is this overly sensitive shit that people are talking about? Like, I hate how people talk about, like, you're too sensitive when it comes to certain things. I think this generation is the appropriate amount of sensitive. Let me take that back. I believe that it is great that this younger generation is sensitive to things, because it makes you look at old shit that we thought was normal, and they're telling us that shit's not normal. And it allows us to have a conversation and look at things from a different perspective. As much as we want to say, like, these kids don't know anything, they know enough to know that some things are bad and that some things are good, right? We should hope that we've taught them enough to where they know the difference between right and wrong. And when it comes to like in movies, when you see kids poking holes in a hallway to look inside the girls' locker room, like, that's wrong. Even if guys thought that's cool, I'd try to do that. Like, that's wrong. That's predatory behavior that we should cut out, right? But we also have kids that are like overly sensitive who think that we should ask permission, like get permission from a baby if it's okay to take off their diaper and wipe their ass. Like, I mean, that is fucking weird, but whatever. There are some things that we can be sensitive over and be respectful about. And there's other things that are that you are being overly sensitive and you need to calm down. The other day, there was a situation with Daniel Caesar. Oh, no, not the other day. It was like a week or two ago. It was a topic of Dave Chappelle and John Mayer were having like a Insta Live chat or whatever on their show, on John Mayer's show or whatever. And Daniel Caesar was the guest. And Dave Chappelle said something to the effect of, yeah, Daniel Caesar, yeah, very gay. Huh? Well, anyway, and blah, blah, blah. And you hear the laughter, right? And you know that it's not really an uncomfortable laughter. It's more of like, I get it. You're making me laugh. There's not a joke behind it. Now, can it be seen as offensive to people that are in the gay community? Yeah, definitely it could be. But the person who was the target of that joke, Daniel Caesar, he at first was upset about it and then said to himself, you know what? Maybe I am being overly sensitive. And that wasn't like a pushback. That wasn't Dave Chappelle pushing him into saying that. And then Dave at the end said, I thought about it. You are. Absolutely, you're being sensitive because you're upset with me being a comedian. And that is where I feel like people should like take that step back and learn to take a joke. And Daniel Caesar was kind of right in his rant a couple days later, like saying, yeah, we have to learn to take a joke sometimes. Now, the full rant, I don't agree with that black people are overly sensitive and that we need to like calm the fuck down and take a joke. Yeah, sometimes we do need to take a joke and like chill the fuck out. But it's not everything is like targeted to hurt. Not everything. But I do understand that some things that people do, that people will say to you, or how it makes you feel. Yeah, it could make you feel a certain type of way. But if the intent is not to harm, if the intent is to make you laugh or like show like a bit of like relatability, you know, like laugh, damn it. Like it's not always intended to hurt your feelings. So we need to learn or remember really how to take a joke. But I don't agree with when he was talking about it, as it pertained to Yes Jules. First off, who the fuck is Yes Jules? Who is this white girl that, was it Mook or whoever the fuck that was, to say to her, you can say nigga because you're Puerto. No, that's a white girl. Get the fuck out of here. Like, no. She can't say it. And her disrespect towards black women for years, apparently. I had to look this up because I had no idea who the fuck she was. Like, just because you reached a level of like popularity because you're Instagram famous or you've done this or you've done that, like, get the fuck out of here. I don't care that much about how you do shit when it, I don't care that much about how you go about your life or whatever. I don't care. But when you get to a point where people, where you're an actual like influencer, I want to say, where you can influence people, when you are in front of like millions or hundreds of thousands of people and your voice can stretch miles, you know, you have a responsibility to be bigger than your bullshit. It's deep as fuck. You, I know it sounds random, but you have to be bigger than your bullshit. Like, whatever personal shit that you have going on in your world, in your personal world, you have to be bigger than that. You have to be bigger than, because your influence is strong. You have to be able to, like, know when to shut the fuck up. And this is one of those times. She needs to learn to shut the fuck up. What she said about black women and her, like, disdain, like, they're jealous of her, bitch, sit the fuck down. Don't you ever disrespect the queen like that. Like, I don't fucking understand. And I don't understand how she's popular, whatever. But for him to go in and kind of defend her and like, oh, she's making a joke. She's not fucking making a joke. Like, it stems from her personal feelings and beliefs. And she needs to learn that she needs to be bigger than her bullshit. Like, her bullshit is, like, black women, blah, 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 all this negative, 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 negative. You're in a space where you need to be bigger than that. You need to learn to be accepting and understand that you have plenty of people who, like, speak on you, who know you, who want to hear from you. You need to be bigger than your bullshit and learn to accept other people and recognize that you can alienate an entire group of people by saying something stupid, and this is it. And just because she fucked with whoever and did this, then I don't give a fuck. I don't care. None of that shit, like, fucking matters. The thing that matters is who you are as an individual and what you can bring to people. And if you bring nothing and you spit nothing and you are about nothing, then fucking get out. Get the fuck out of here. But anyway, I partly agree with my man Daniel Caesar, but I agree that we need to learn to take a joke. But I don't agree that we should just be accepting of other people's bullshit because they are speaking their truth. I mean, that shit's dangerous. And just because she may feel a certain type of way, or anyone really feels a certain type of way, it doesn't mean that you should destroy an entire group of people just because you've had bad experiences with a few. We all should really learn from that one thing. Like, we can't deny ourselves the opportunity to grow and to be better than where we are now just because we're fucking angry at somebody else who did shit prior to hurt us. That's kind of ridiculous. But I mean, that goes in, like, mostly, like, relationships, like, in general, not talking about just dating, like, people, like, overall people. If one girl named Becky, like, cheated on you and, like, I don't know, stole your car, I don't know, like, like, you're gonna stop fucking around with Becky's all around? Like, that's a bit ridiculous. I know that's a bad example, but that's just, like, a small, it's supposed to drive the point, so I hope you got the point. So let's move on from that shit. So yes, this generation, it's good that this generation is a little bit more sensitive because it does teach, but at the same time, we need to learn to take a fucking joke. Not all things are offensive, but a lot of things are fucking offensive, so you have to understand, like, what's a joke by its intent. If it's intending to make you laugh, if it's intending to show, like a being relatable, then learn to take the joke. And I applaud Dave Chappelle in that situation because he didn't back down. He didn't apologize. And he wasn't saying, like, no, nah, like, no, I think you're great, but you're being a little sensitive. It's a joke. And he's always had that stance of, like, being like, this is comedy. I'm here to make you laugh. These are jokes. If he ever said anything offensive, he knows what not to say, but he also knows what to say and what he can say. But he also doesn't stop himself from saying shit that he really fucking wants to say. I think that's why Dave Chappelle is, like, one of the greatest, because he's not afraid to fucking speak his mind. And I think that's dope. I think that's why he's fucking Dave Chappelle. So, yeah. And I'll give it up to Daniel Caesar, too, because he did own that shit and say, yeah, maybe I'm being a little bit sensitive. Like, even when I heard it 10 times, I was like, yeah, he is being sensitive. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on. Anyway, let me get up out of here. Just because there really wasn't, like, a lot of shit that I really wanted to talk about. It's just been, like, I was more focused on, like, wanting to see us than, like, doing anything else. This whole week, I'm like, yes, it's coming out. Oh, I can't wait to see it. And then I get a call from my homie, and he's like, hey, yeah, you want to go? I got another ticket. Fucking right I do. So I was lucky to go, and going again, it's just, man, I can't. That movie was hella good. You guys need to see that shit. Anyway, so I'm going to get out of here. But before I do, I wanted to play this song that I heard the other day. I thought it was dope. So I hope you guys enjoy it. This is from Kiana Letty. I hope I pronounced that right. If not, not like she's going to hear me. Oh, that'd be dope if she did that. But yeah, this is Wicked Games. Kiana Letty, Wicked Games.
You love to be a troublemaker. Leave me now to fuck me later. It's always later, later, later. And I let you come back. Cause sticking around is in my nature. And tolerating bad behavior. You know that I do that. You love that I do that.
Said that was Kiana Letty with Wicked Games. I think I'm gonna play one more. And this is So I'm gonna play this song. I don't know what has been bringing me towards it. It's just been like on my fucking brain lately, and I haven't been able to like get it out. Like I said, I'm really into like some indie shit. I love hip hop, like, period, right? But this artist I was introduced to like a few years back. My friend TJ, he hit me up one day and was like, yo, you're gonna go to Rock the Bells? And I said, the fuck is that? So this is a long time ago. And he was like, yo, Rock the Bells, here's the flyer, check it out. And one of the names that stood out was Atmosphere. And I was like, who the fuck is this? But he assured me that if I listen, I would want to listen to every single fucking thing he puts out. And I said, sure, okay. And yeah, I literally listened to every fucking thing he put out. This is off the album When Life Gives You Lemons, Paint the Shit Gold. And this simple joint, actually, no, I don't want to play it. No, I'm going to play it. I just like the simplicity of it because I like hearing rappers rap over like instruments, and this one is just a classic joint to me. So this is Atmosphere with Guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
house, wages kill the ends. Introduction, man, I should have schooled it up when I was younger. Should have stuck the plan. Always had the dreams of being more self-assertive than my kid's a teenager. Now he needs the health insurance. So break my body, break my soul down. Just another zombie walking blindly through your ghost town. Pull up to the bar, to politic and tap the power. Ain't nobody really all that jolly at your happy hour. But I don't wanna go home yet, so I'ma talk to my cigarette and that television set. It doesn't matter what brand or station, anything to take away from the current situation. No overtime pay, no holiday, months behind on everything but the lottery. Winter around the corner, guaranteeing that my car dies. Wifey having trouble trying to juggle both the part times. My cup ain't close to filled up, we trying to build up so we can have enough. When I finally get the color, won't be nothing left to paint on. A friend of mine tried to kill himself to the same song. Mad at making magic out of canned goods. My tax bracket status got a question in my manhood. My shorty got caught smoking weed at a concert. And if I smack him, everybody treats me like a monster. My neighbors ain't doing much better, and we make it competition instead of sticking together. Can't save no nest egg. In fact, this nest is rented. In fact, that rent is late. Wait, the money ain't here. The raise ain't coming. Just me and my son and that crazy woman and those bartenders. This whole fucking country got everybody swallowing that lunch meat. Speed up the process, kill me in my 30s in the name of progress. Put me in the dirt and then change the topic. Sometimes seems like the only way to stop it. Contemplate my departure date. Doesn't take a lot to get a lot of us to talk this way. Take a shot at me, that's all I'm obligated for. Apparently my only guarantee is a walk away.
Atmosphere guarantees. Fucking love that song. I know it's like kind of like a downer, but what I really like about that track is the fact that it speaks to the everyday man and his struggles with life. When he talks about my wifey trying to make magic out of canned goods, it makes me think of like my mom when she would work like two jobs. And she would come home and just make these meals for me and my brother out of like stovetop and fucking green beans and like in a can and all this like stuff. Like she would put this shit together to make us something, you know, and keep us full. And we're not noticing like the struggle and the fight that she goes through every single day, just trying to make a life for us, playing the lotto, and not really wanting to go out because she needs to like conserve her energy because she knows that she has to go to work. I love that song for that. And I know that every single person that listens to this podcast has seen that, has gone through that, or is currently going through it. That's one of the reasons why I played it, and it just gets stuck in my brain. I love that song. I love that album, and I can't believe it's been 11 years since that classic dropped. And fun fact, that was also his biggest selling album. It peaked on the charts at like 6 on the top 100 Billboard. So it was just like, the album was incredible. The album's really fucking good. So go check that out. When Life Gives You Lemons, you paint that shit gold. If you haven't already heard it, listen to it. If you've heard it, listen to it again. And I was just going to get out of here, but I want to play one more. This, I don't know why. I'm still a dancer at heart. Still have like that vibe, that energy with me. And this one day I was playing just some music just randomly, and then it popped up and I was like, oh, I forgot about this joint. And it made me think of my big brother. Shout out to Jay Chris. Made me think about him, and I was like, man, yeah, I gotta send this track to him. But yeah, so this is Bone Thugs and Tupac, Thug Love. Whatever you niggas want, you dream it. Nigga, what time is it? Yeah. I don't give a fuck where you lay at, nigga. It's time to slay these bitch man bitches. They ain't even know what type of niggas we is. Where my thugs at? Both thugs gone. I know you niggas been waiting for this for a long time. But here it is, nigga. Here it is. What you gonna do? Well, I must speak close to the Armageddon, Lord.
I brought it, punished for hard living. Blind to the facts, thugs is convicts in God's prison. Hands on the strap, praying so Father, please forgive me. Police be rushing when they see me, I flaunt it. America's most wanted, live on TV like pleasure and pain. Stuck in this game, holler my name. We all gon' die, we bleed through similar veins. Please explain to me now, don't panic when my guns burst. Heard the last jam, nigga, this one's worse. My nigga Bone held the chrome till I came home. Thug love player, tell these bitch niggas bring it home. I caught a plane out to Cleveland late last evening to help my niggas clean up some niggas no longer breathing. Damn, who do you believe in? Hit the weed and breathe. It's a cold ass world, niggas kill you in your sleep. Watch me until they stop me, bury, murder me or drop me. I got thug love for my nation while I bust it, feel me?
Number one nigga, rap with an action, and niggas down to put us some work, hit us some dirt, fucking around with the band bone. Thugs in harmony, follow down the road, we strode to meet karma. Everything I do will seem to cause drama. Ready for the war like a knight in my armor, bomb ya. So quick to test, just nigga wanna press me, eat dust. For the love of the lust, niggas bustin' on us. Hit him up with the bus, 12 kg rust. It's my art of war. Put the niggas on the floor when I'm coming through the door. Bringing nothing but the terror, causing much pain to the nigga that dead. Try to put a twist in his dust to air a bit. With a nigga like Pac and a nigga like me, gotta stay high. Thug love to the die, keep a breath to the sky. But I'm still in the hood, smoking fry. So I beg the Lord to save us all. Escape us of misery. Bless my niggas in penitentiary. Soldiers of the century. Yeah,
they get into my niggas, then they get down. Down with the dirty and we don't fuck around. Buck a couple of rounds and if it passes through, they get the ground. And don't get caught up in the crossfire. Nigga, artillery thick and you don't wanna get the fucking with this. I'm straight devil, I'm the fucking pretend. I reload, fuck a little more. Niggas ain't
for the pump, don't even know who you looking for. They don't know a motherfucker with a leather face. Hey, man, she said I ran this way, said I ran that way. Your hoes, I never know because I got away. A criminal mind to keep a nigga on the level sometimes. So get out and analyze your crime. Correctly organized, and with the results, you'll be surprised.
Nigga, can you feel the vibe with your rap play? Hey, niggas, you got to die. It's only rap, but with bone, better leave it alone. More thugs, I'm cracked, they fucking dumb. Still in the hood with a thug's blade. Fucking with nothing but thugs, man. Ain't taking no shows or no losses. We cracking them down around my way. Give it to him on another level, nigga. Get a shovel, you can dig a hole, bitches, it's dead. If a red, take your head, you can beg, you can flare, but still gon' be bloody red. For the mind, we'll be seen in the moonlight. We are right
for you.
Better run for cover, nigga, duh. We bought a bus, Drake got the infrared, put it on his forehead, make some moves. Since I was home, put the card in the motherfucker, send it to his mama, tell her he was dead. Wrong, dead, wrong, go. Now we wrong,
Thug Love, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Tupac. So, thank you again, everybody, for listening and supporting the podcast. Please, please keep tuning in. I'm going to up the... upload, I guess. I'm going to up the number of times that I go on to about twice a week, maybe three, I don't know. Because I feel like with... March ending and we're getting into like with spring beginning, actually I should say, we're gonna start seeing a lot more shit. I feel like a lot of people are gonna do some dumb shit, and I feel like a lot more music is gonna drop. A lot of hip-hop is coming. There's a lot of stuff that I'm looking forward to, and I can't wait to share with you all. So thank you so much again for listening and tuning in. This has just been a lot of fun for me. I hope you guys are enjoying this as well. But thank you again for everybody listening. Again, shout out to my homie J. Chris. Shout out to my brother DZ. I gotta hit that full up so we can play some 2K. Any of y'all play 2K? A lot of y'all niggas do. So if you play 2K, find me on Xbox Live, Reckless Side KMA. I'm always on. Like, I'll be randomly playing. So like, hit me. That'd be dope. Like, shout out to Mosey Holmes. Man. You're fucking killing it. And as soon as your shit drops, I will play that shit here. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to support our people, no matter how big or small. Like, if your friend is out there and he's like, yo, I got new, like, fucking skin cream, buy that shit. If you're a homeboy growing his own strain of weed, fucking buy that shit. I don't smoke weed, so... but fucking support your people, support your friends, because the people next to you are the ones that are trying to build. Why aren't you helping them build? And why aren't you building with them? So let's grow together. Anyway, have a great weekend, you guys, or whenever you fucking listen to this. Thank you again for tuning in, and peace out.